word.
Here we are, folks.
All right. All right. Welcome to Kayak Kevin Podcast number 5. Today is February 7th, 2014, and I'm pretty excited to
have... the screen.
Huh?
No screen.
No screen. Well, I'm going to be always right here.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you.
I didn't have any particular videos to talk about today, so, yeah.
I can't show the people the picture from today.
Well,
Ken just put it on the internet.
Well, everybody's on Facebook anyway. Everybody's on Facebook. They've been on there. Yeah. But I'm pretty excited to have both of these guys here today because both of these guys had a pretty exciting day. You know, I'm sitting there editing, and these guys are having fun. So
yeah, this is
well, yeah, you worked, but you had a good evening.
I did. I drove down. They had the expert angler and the largest citations of last year. So they gave out the trophies for that as well.
Yeah.
And then they went. Mm-hmm. I got my expert. Super stoked.
So he went to the banquet or the award ceremony to get his expert angler award today. And look, they even have it on the back here.
Yeah, it just itemizes each stand.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, red drum, shark.
Shark.
Speckled trout, striper, and a tog.
Tog.
Yes, sir. You know, I was just editing that fight, that, a little bit on that fight today. And adding Lee in there going, how big is it?
That's the first thing I asked Ken today.
Yeah. And today, you had
a big one. I caught a 14 and a half pound tog.
You went out into the ocean. You're on a boat.
Yeah.
You're with Ken Neal. You're with Ken Neal, who is probably one of the biggest, baddest dudes.
At least bottom fishing wise, if not one of the best fishermen around here.
Didn't he's the one that got the record last year, right? The 20.
He holds a state record for tall tall.
How big was that? 20.
24 something.
Something.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Not only that, but his boat has also put more world records on these last 10 years or so.
Oh, probably than any other boat or crew around.
Yeah. I mean,
he does it.
All those offshore, they all were either set and broken on his boat a lot of times.
Yeah.
Like
Roger broke his own record a couple times.
And then
they were battling out with a couple of other fish, him in another boat, and then they really keyed in on it. I mean, they've got it going.
Yeah. So you got to go out with him. Well, you've been out with him before a lot of times.
I've actually tautog fishing with him before. I've king mackerel fished with him before. We've done some tuna, some offshore trolling. I've definitely white marlin fished with him before.
Yeah, that's right. I remember. Yeah, because you got pictures. He's also really active on the internet and on Facebook. It's
Healthy Grin Sport Fishing.
Healthy Grin Sport Fishing is
for Facebook.
And it's Peninsula Saltwater
Sportsman. Peninsula Saltwater.
But it's the acronym. It's PS something.
PSWSA.
Yeah, but just look up if you Google Peninsula Saltwater's Sportsman Association or something, or it's a club. It's a club. But it's probably one of the coolest websites that has instructional stuff for fishing the bay. I mean, it's boat orientated, of course, but it completely shows. Breaks down even, you know, and it's a lot of the old style of doing stuff, which is like the black drum fishing with the clams
and
all that stuff. So those guys kind of...
You got a lot of those guys from up over there on the water. They've lived on the water their whole lives. I mean, they fish the same way that their dads fished and their granddads fished.
They all just
pass the same stuff down.
And have all the information on that Peninsula Saltwater Sportsman's website. It's kind of a go-to spot. Actually, if you Google a lot of stuff about the Chesapeake Bay, it'll bring it up.
I didn't know about this, so I'm
like,
I'm checking this out.
If you Google,
Peninsula Saltwater Sportsman's Association.
If you Google, like, striper fishing in Chesapeake Bay, his site comes up.
Yeah. I mean, I heard of the club. They got quite the reputation. I just didn't know they had all that information.
Well, he developed that website early, and you know, early on, and he knew the information that was going to come out of that.
Yeah, but he's also like an IGFA rep.
Yes,
that's right.
And he works now with Vims. I think he's
tagging. He did a bluefin thing, or like a small bluefin.
Yeah, well, actually, one of the really cool things. We'll go into this when we talk about the togs, like catching today, because we've been doing some really cool things with togs, trying to single out this area from the rest of the coast.
Yeah.
Because our tautog are managed on like an East Coast level for the whole coast, and they don't go anywhere. And, like, and the Tautog and Virginia are from Virginia. They live on the same wreck their entire life.
The whole issue was whether or not, because there was limits up north, and there are different limits from down here. The limits up there are more stringent than they were down here, because we seem to have a plentiful amount. So the north were saying that our fish migrate north and south. That was the whole
thing. And now we're getting to kill their fish. Right. So our limits have to go
down. So we have to, all of our fish are the same. They migrate in the same areas. And through the tagging program, this is what's strange. I thought that was squashed years ago with the tagging program, because it showed that these fish, they don't move, or they go east and west.
Barely ever at all.
They get bigger out there.
The only one that Ken Neal has tagged hundreds and hundreds of tautogs, he's had one move.
Right.
He said, it's an article in Chesapeake Angler this month. It's in the article. He said one move, and it went from a wreck, right at the mouth of the bay to another one really close to there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite possible that somebody caught that fish, was going to keep it,
calling them out,
got to the next wreck, and the first fish they caught might have been bigger. They threw that one back. You know what I mean? I mean, one fish out of hundreds
How about this? I tagged, I was in my dad's boat, and we were on the tube at the first, and we captured a bunch of small ones, like 12 inches. I tagged all of them and released them on the entrance of the inlet out here.
You told me about this.
Right? Released a dozen of them. I was like, okay, I want to go out here and catch these little togs again. They got recaptured back at the first time.
We're going home.
We're going home. We're going back. So that I thought
maybe
that
they
was,
do feel like it's home.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
But they don't move once they're established somewhere.
Yeah. But that's the thing is, I thought that whole issue was done, but now you guys are doing even more research to try to prove that that's not. You guys are doing DNA research.
Yeah, they're taking DNA now from the tautog that we're catching off these in this area, and then several areas north of here, and they're going to compare the DNA, because they can tell from the DNA whether they're the same families of fish. You
just
know,
like, I think
I don't know the exact scientific terms, but just like what ODU families did, of fish. Yeah.
Just like what ODU with the sheep said, saying our strain is a little bit different. Is their own strain compared to the southern ones? Yeah. So basically, that's
we're catching our own. You know, we're trying to once again prove that we're catching our own tautog. We already know that. But now our limits have gone, our limit's crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, the size restriction is 16 inches and 3 fish. And literally, there's never been, you've never caught more.
Yeah.
The fishery is amazing.
Yeah. But the thing is, you know, they're going north and south, but they just stay here. And
I don't know. We're going to talk about this all night. Anyway, I caught a giant one today.
Yeah, it
did. We went out with Ken today, and I got my biggest tog ever. It was 14 and a half pounds. I mean, just craziest thing.
I should just read the text message, because we were hanging out, and it was like, they were just nonstop. She can tell you were excited. She goes,
oh, yeah.
If you were talking to him right now, he'd be yelling at you right now.
Congrats.
Oh, and so, women, I just want to introduce our girls are right here, our audience right here, so that's where you're talking to right there. So you might hear a little giggle from behind the camera.
We went out and we set up. We were catching a few fish, smaller fish here and there throughout the day. We moved on the anchor a few times. One of the guys on the boat did have a big one hooked that came off early. You know, we fished around that same hole. I mean, literally, we literally sat on the same hole all day long. We ended up catching 26 fish. Somewhere in the middle of the day, I caught one, right at 8 pounds, 22 and a half inches.
Mm-hmm.
And then a few minutes later, in the exact same hole, I got a big bite, and as soon as I set the hook, the rod just doubles over, and I mean, it feels like the reef. And then it just takes... And I could feel it going through stuff, I could feel my line grinding on things. And this thing is just taking drag. And at this point, I've said, oh, this is a good one. Everybody on the boat is watching me. It turns around and starts to swim. So I think I've got it. And I start swimming and the line just stops. I don't know whether the fish wrapped around something or my weight hung on something or what. But it just stopped for a second. And I mean, time froze.
Mm.
You know, you're just sitting there what's good, you know, and all you can do is, there's no sense in trying to break anything, so you just sit there. And it seemed like a while, but it was probably 3 or 4 seconds.
But
it, and then it just, I mean, it seems like forever. It's probably 3 or 4 seconds, and then I just feel a movement, and the reel handle turns over. At that point, I know he's out, so I just, start working him back to the top. He tries to fight back down, but I never let him get back. Down into the reef. He gets up to the boat, and Hunter puts the net underneath him. Puts him in the net. We throw him on the boat. I mean, celebrate. I was so happy. I just yelled. profanities, all this. So, Hunter goes to hand me the fish from the bottom of the boat. Goes to pick it up from
the leader
line, with the hook loop on it.
Yeah.
And doesn't even get it off the deck, and it just snaps. That fish had me in the wreck so bad, that line was just trash. It was ready to break at any second. He couldn't even pick the fish up with it.
Nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Congrats, man.
That's awesome.
No, so you caught it. Did you catch one that was... There was the 8-pounder and then that one, and then it was smaller.
No, I caught a smaller one early in the morning. Yeah,
but you caught three.
Three. 3 out of 26. Hunter caught most of them. I mean, I think Hunter caught 13 or something like that. And he had one.
Three of you guys?
No, there were 7 of us.
Oh, wow. Damn.
Yeah.
With 26 fish.
Yeah, I mean, it was decent. Yeah. One guy caught one. Another guy caught 2. I think Ken caught 1, but Ken spent a lot of time. I mean, Ken tags every one of them we catch, unless it's already tagged. We caught 2 or 3 fish today that were already tagged. One of them that we caught, Ken just flipped his notebook back a page. 2 weeks ago, Hunter, the same guy that caught it today, caught the exact same fish in the exact same spot. Two weeks ago,
Yeah, when you tag a lot, you get to know, you kind of recognize your numbers. Because you get a whole set.
Ken was like,
that's mine.
That's mine. He flipped back one page and was like, okay, well, we caught this last time we were here 2 weeks ago.
Is Ken Neal the same? I mean, because I remember you did an offshore tog trip, and you said, I think that your biggest was like 18 inches or something.
We caught 5 keepers today. Literally, 5 keepers. Everything was a throwback.
He came back, he was so pissed off. He's like, my average at the first island is way better than this.
Right. And my average at the first island was, not better than my average today, but better than the boat average today. I mean, we averaged 14 inches today.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, I mean, we were catching 12 and a half inches. We caught a lot of cunners. But that's cunners. Those little wrasse things. Harass's ass.
Cunners, yeah.
Cunners.
I think they call them Burgle, too.
That's Burgle?
B-E-R-G-A-L-L. Huh. Because when I first caught one, I was like, what the hell is this? And I had to look it up. So I know some people call them cunners, and some people call them Burgles.
Ken did put a fish in the box today. He caught a keeper tog. Oh, actually, Ken caught 2 togs. I think he caught a smaller one. He caught that one, and he caught a hake.
Yeah,
he caught like a 2-pound hake today.
Because usually you catch those, or maybe even with the
The cod sometimes. We did catch 1 hake today.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool. Like real white meat.
Yeah.
You cut that thing open, and up near the fins, you know how when you fillet a flounder around the top of it, it's got like those ridges?
Mm-hmm.
This thing does the same thing around the top fin, the edges of the meat. Yeah. It's real cool looking.
Does it have a fin like that? Is it like a...
I didn't really pay that much attention to it because I was fishing.
Yeah.
I didn't really look. I mean, I looked over, I was like, what is that?
Yeah.
Ken was like, is it a hake? I was like, I knew it was that or a cod. I don't know. They're from up north. It looks like a north thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's sushi, right?
Yeah. I ate sushi an hour ago.
It just reminds me, on flounder, there's when you do it a fillet, and it's the muscles right up on the edge that control the fan. Right.
It's kind of almost past the meat.
They're like little bulbous looking little muscles.
Yeah.
It's freaking delicious.
Is that what it is? I've had flounder.
That looks like fatty meat.
It's so good, dude.
That's basically when you flounder belly or flounder, you use those fin pieces and with those.
When I lived at my parents' house, I took a guy, the sushi guy up the street, because I went up there and had sushi all the time. I took him a flounder and a speckled trout one day, and he gave me flounder back. I don't remember if it was those pieces, though, but he did give me, he took it back there, did his whole sushi thing, cleaned it up, everything, came back out, and gave me some sushi, and I'm like, what is this? He's like, that's the flounder. Man, I caught this earlier.
I went on a mothership trip. I don't know. Did I even tell you?
When?
Last Friday. With I went with Jack Daughtry and a couple of Maryland boys. Went out of Hatteras and had four kayaks on the big boat. We got out there, dude. It was nasty going out. Like, poor Jack, dude. He gets out of Hatteras. Yeah, and I mean, I don't get seasick real often. I was starting to feel it a little bit, and Jack was just pure white with a little bit of green. And yeah. He was not happy. But we got out there, we started jigging, got into AJ's real quick. The sharks got them too, so we were bringing up AJ heads about this big.
Yeah.
Dude, it was nuts. And eventually the water calmed down a little bit, and we got on. He was marking tuna. He knew they were tuna. So
right.
we got out on the kayaks and started jigging, and it was still AJ's nonstop. It was right. Just couldn't get away from him. Still bringing up heads. Some of them, you know, were. You know, the normal, and okay. Some of them, dude, the heads were just, I mean, literally, one of the heads I brought up, the head itself was this big. It was just like,
so
I
was that like, a, that's a 50-incher?
Is that in that range? Probably 40s, mid-40s, okay. You're 50-inch head, like, it's huge.
Right.
Like,
right.
A giant cobia size. Yeah, like, look, their heads are real wide.
Yeah. So he's a 40, but these are, yeah.
Yeah. I went through a whole bunch of, I had
but the,
of,
I guess the larger ones are a little bit slower and they're getting... You get bit off by the shark?
Yeah.
Like, either that or, yeah, dude, yeah. The sharks are ridiculous, yeah. Man. When, it depends on how the current does down there and over top of those rocks, but sometimes it's really almost impossible to fish because the sharks are so bad. Yeah, they eat anything that you hook immediately. I mean, I went out one day and we lost like $400 worth of jigs trying to catch blackfin tuna, and we caught like five.
Wait, yeah, put five in there.
I mean, literally, I had one that was probably, you know, 25, 30 pounds, just a nice, really nice, big blackfin tuna. 10 feet from the top, gone. Just like that. Back fighting again. Hooked up to a shark.
Yeah.
I mean, and this was all day.
I mean, some of them are... I mean,
and they're getting hooks, stupid. And they just grabbing the body.
Sometimes.
All of a sudden, you're in a bigger fight.
I think one of mine was because I brought it back up. And jigs, I mean, these are pretty heavy-duty...
They're made. You can catch blue fins on them.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I brought it up, and it was literally, like, almost 90-degree bent.
The jig itself.
Yeah, the jig itself.
Coming tight.
Dude, I was struggling. I had bruises on my belly on that one, dude.
So you had that thing was in his mouth, like, on his jaw. Hanging on his jaw, and when he turned, it bent the jig.
That's what I'm thinking.
Jeez.
Yeah, it was brutal. Yeah. My wife is here. I probably shouldn't say this, but I went through about $120 worth of jigs. And maybe 3 hours.
Yeah, it doesn't that take long?
Sounds like they owe me.
On a expensive trip.
Eventually there was another boat going around trolling around us, and they were hooking up on blackfin, so we put the kayaks away and just made it into a meat run where we just
off of the
cool. So you caught them?
Oh, we got it to them. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, good.
I think there were like six citations.
Oh, so good, yeah.
Like 20, mid-20s.
When you got them on that big tackle and they're on top already. The sharks are down there.
Yeah, no, this
with them. When the tunas shoot up to the top, the sharks don't come up with them.
No,
and when they're trolling around, they got a big tackle. Like, literally, you were hooking these black fins and reeling them to the boat.
Well, the cool part is actually you're visualizing the hits because
they had
like this crazy gigantic pole thing with, you know, reels like this.
Oh, green sticking.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So basically,
you were seeing them jump out of the water.
Exactly.
And say, oh my god, like, green stick is so exciting.
That was fun.
Yeah. When you see the guys on the boats and they're doing like, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, you're jigging or you're bouncing this main line, which has got a bunch of clips with. Long.
It's commercial fishing.
Okay, so you were off of the outrigger.
They were commercial fishing, essentially.
And you're bouncing it, so the squid looks like the little
squids
squid
are looks jumping like in and out of the water, and the tuna just come. I mean, right on top or over the top. I mean, a lot of times they're jumping. You hook them in the middle of the air.
Yeah. There was one take though. I didn't get to see it, but I heard it because. When something really shit. Yeah, we're probably not gonna
I'm thinking it was winter, man. I got a lot of time to do a bunch.
Apparently it was like a giant explosion in the water, and there's a clip where the main line attaches to the big green stick pole thing, and it snapped off, and just I could have swore the dude that was bouncing the line was gonna hit slam the mic. as hard as it hit, I could. Right. If that metal piece hit him in the head, he would.
There were actually some last weekend. There were some yellowfins down there. So
yeah, well, not, okay, I'm confused how this is set up. You got the outrigger.
Okay,
you
got no, there's no outrigger.
Okay,
no, no.
We didn't want
It's a green stick. So it's the, you see those offshore boats, and most of them don't have it, but if you go outside.
I'm thinking of the guys who are doing tuna fishing in the front of the boats, and they're hooking and slinging.
Oh, No. Green sticking is like a super tall outrigger in the middle of your boat, like a shotgun rigger, right? And what you do, it's essentially like you fish it kind of like a kite, except for it's so tall, it goes to the water instead of going to the air. Yeah.
Okay.
When you pull a buoy with like an anchor thing, this is one of these big polyballs, and it's got like a shovel thing on the back side of it, so it catches the water.
In the water,
right?
Keeps it in the water, drags it on top, and from that, you can. Some of the boats have them set up to fish, like recreational wise, like outrigger clips. You would run this green stick out,
and pop.
It dangles the bait to the water off of this main, like 400-pound line or
500-pound
line. Yeah, it's huge line. And your bait just dangles straight down. But some of the boats have it hooked up recreational style where they can hook their rods up to it, and you fight the fish on a 30 or 50. It comes off.
That's what I'm saying.
And then this guy probably has this set up commercial rig.
So
it's on a big winch. You winch the whole thing in.
Yeah, that's what it is.
You get four bites, and you winch four tunas in. And then you get four bites, and you winch four tunas in.
When the first one hits, it's like, no, don't touch it yet. Just keep bouncing it so we catch it.
You got one going.
Yeah,
The other bait's further back, though. The other baits are further back. They're spread out so that they don't get tangled.
Right, right.
And they're just, the leaders are set to a distance so that they all dangle across the top.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So this one's not hanging out.
And this thing is sticking straight off the boat.
Oh, it's
straight up
behind the cockpit, like right behind the captain.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
And it's, I mean, a lot of people know what they are, but it's,
So when it's all loaded up, you get all the tuna, you start cranking, does this thing bow down?
No, when you're just trolling, this thing is bowed down. Yeah, I mean, it's like a
huge
fishing rod.
You just reel it up on it.
Yeah, that's right. The fish
Dude,
the
reel was literally, it's about this big. And I'm cranking it like this.
It's like a 500-pound test on results like that.
No, and a cable coming. Cable coming off of it.
This is, they were, at this point, they were commercial fishing. They literally were commercial fishing.
And it's like, exactly. That's why I call them a meat run, because it's not,
there was no sport fishing to this. This is not sport fishing.
I'm just the muscle doing the because it's the captain essentially that's doing all the work and getting the know-how of where we're supposed to go and which angle he's supposed to change the boat. And at that
the
point,
one going down,
and you're fighting the
mess with
the thing about, especially with trolling. It's like you're fighting the boat half as much as you're fighting the fish.
And like I said, this green stick doesn't let him get down there to the sharks. So
it's right on top the whole time.
Yeah,
we fairly quickly we were filling the ice box up.
Fun time.
Blackfin.
I mean, I did a yellowfin charter one day when we filled the boat in 2.5 hours, and that was without a green stick. But that was when
you were in.
It was stupid.
Yeah,
we had some.
Literally, the captain slowed the boat down. We walked out with the baits in the water. I had to open the cabin door to wake everybody up because we had four fish on.
We had a couple of albacore too, false albacore, and then
they make good bait.
Cape it, AJ's. I think that was it. So, it was a good experience. It was fun. We'd rather have done it in the kayak.
It's
hard to map the current.
And once you get sharks there, you're not gonna. Move them. You know, you're not going to go.
They're not going anywhere.
No. Yeah.
One time we were fishing. I chartered the big tuna, and we were catching sharks over one set of rocks. So we went to a different set of rocks, and it wasn't as bad. We were still losing some fish, but it wasn't.
But like
as
you said,
bad.
You moved. You moved. From
we
that
moved. We had, oh, miles.
Where it was
10
already
miles.
Like frenzied out.
We moved like 10 miles.
There. Yeah.
You want to go over some of these questions?
Yeah.
What do we got? People want to know how we catch bait.
Yeah.
Our favorite way to catch bait.
That's why I brought that right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bring that thing out.
Yeah. All right, I'll get that right there. Yeah. So.
Sabiki rigs have a lot of hooks.
I don't like
And a lot of trouble. If you don't have a set up Sabiki rod in the kayak, you're looking to tangle everything, cause yourself to get mad, and then you're going to break something anyway.
You're in a small confined space with a whole lot of dangling hooks. And the thing is, I've done them. I've done them before, and it works.
Yeah, like I said, they have those Sabiki rods that the rig reels right into. That takes up a spot on your boat. For one, if you have that rod, if not, you have to buy it.
Fish bites.
He's probably still going to catch a spot on it.
Right on, yeah.
He's probably just going to like take that back out there. He's like, nah, I got bait. I'm straight. I'm not.
But you know, well, first we're not like bait fishermen. Like
right,
Jimmy kind of made a thing like you know.
We fish live bait while we're jigging.
We
most
fish
of the time.
And we kind of fish. I want to catch the fish. It's not so much how you catch fish. If live bait or bait works for these species, I'm going to target. You know, I'm not going to. You know, try to artificial bait for a tog, even though we know a tog can be caught on artificial bait. So, you know, now for, you know, we've gotten more.
Another discussion right there.
right. And that's as far as I'm going to go with that just right now. And now I'm going to go, now, lately, since I've been targeting big reds most of the season, pretty much all year long, I'm always having a bait rod. I'm always using a bait. But I would much rather catch them on artificial, if that's you know, because that's handheld and you get the strike.
But at the same time, you're spending all this time out there, and if you know they're gonna go after a certain thing, why don't you just put it out there? And you know, while you put that out there, you can still do your artificial.
Yep.
We've fished plenty of lures and live baits at the same time.
That's what we do.
You know.
And so for the last this past year, I've been keeping a live bait rod on the boat, and instead of sabiki rigs, where a lot of people use, I just use basically a tog rig.
Right.
A little teeny hook and fish bites. And I have one rod dedicated to it. It's a really small rod.
And it makes it fun when it's, you know, when you got a fun little rod like that, you know?
Yep, sure. It is.
Well, as soon as Kevin showed me that, I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to have to do that.
Yeah, yeah, we have fun catching our bait.
And it keeps, and doesn't keep any space difference. You know, you can put it on your crate and it's kind of away from everything. And it's not in the way of everything else. You don't have to worry about rubbing on the pilings or anything like that. And it's kind of out of the way.
Dropping a rod pod in like...
It's
like the easiest thing to store.
Yeah. I'm gonna say that. I mean,
it's basically
talking about
an ice fishing rod, too. But as far as the setup goes, you're basically
it's not a light
fishing rod.
It's not light. I'm using 2 ounces.
Yeah.
This is generally for, you know, reds, and this type of fish. There's also when you're going after, you know, shad. Or some of the other, like in the river, sometimes if you have a school of bunker that you want to go with, I mean, that's a whole different type of going after it, because that in my opinion wouldn't work with that in the river. That's the thing. So I did want to clarify for everybody that this is generally for what Kevin loves and we all love to do, which is, you know, going for big reds.
And also, I'm catching larger bait fish too.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
You know, but
you're
I'm
not,
still
yeah, we're not fishing.
I'm still I can still catch fish this big. I can still catch little flounder sized baits.
Right.
And even I put those down when I haven't got a bait big enough for a red. I still put one of those down, but. Sabikis are good for that, but also it's a thing of multiple hooks. I don't like using multiple hooks on anything.
Well, there's certain things that there's certain types of bait fish that are not going to go for fish bites or bloodworms or anything like that. They're, you know, it's like their filter feeders.
Plankton.
Yeah. And so sometimes you gotta have that weird shiny little whatever it is they want to just hit, because in the river, certain times of the year when herring are running, right? I mean, last 2 years you're not allowed to touch herring anyway, but you know, similar ways to go about, you know, snagging them essentially. Mm-hmm. So when you have it, like when we were off Sandbridge sometimes, and you come across a big school bunker, you know, just a treble hook with
you know, but it's still illegal to snag any fin of fish
in
Virginia.
It?
Yeah, right. So that's still
take that back. I never did that.
But
it's
how aren't you going to get those type of baits and you're basically just like picking one or two out of there.
Right.
And, you know, I understand, but it technically is against the law. But, you know, the bait stop show still
there's also, I mean, I've done cast nets plenty, too. So that's part of it.
Yeah, we do catch our drum bait sometimes in cast nets. When we fish in the fall with dead bait, if we're going to anchor and fish with dead bait, which isn't that often because we hate sharks and stingrays.
But we usually go out
and live bait will not keep the sharks away. The only thing live bait does is allow the sharks to bite the live bait in half, and then you reel it up, realize the sharks have bit it, and put another live bait back down for them to do the same thing again.
Like when I was anchoring off this summer, looking for reds, which is nonstop little sharks. Bite them off.
They just eat your bait in half, and you just get a new bait. I mean,
and it's also, it gives you a chance to get away from them, because you can tell a red's not going to go, you know, a red's going to go snatch and grab and run.
They don't eat anything they can't eat in one bite.
Yeah. Those little sharks go, start chewing on them. But yeah, so that's what I've been pretty much dedicating a solid one rod, a smaller rod for bait fishing.
So I've got the same thing. I prefer a spinning setup. I have a bait casting setup now, but I prefer a small spinning setup only because of I like to fish with my rod on the opposite side of the boat when it's in the water.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was about to say.
So I like to fish with my, jig or my other live bait on the opposite side of the boat as I'm trying to catch my bait.
I went with the bait caster simply for the space.
Right.
It's smaller.
Yeah, it's a smaller compact.
But that's a good point, though. I didn't think about that.
I just like to keep what I'm trying to catch away from the bait that's down there so they don't get tangled.
Yeah, yeah.
But one thing with this is, it's hard to fight with it. If you catch a
there's nothing to lean up yet.
Yeah, it's all forearm. So you're fighting it like this. With the spinning rod, at least you can forearm it like here a little bit.
Yeah, I hear you.
So, but yeah, this is one of the default jump out of my hand just because I'm holding it here and it wants to go, wants to come right out. So I end up like doing this. But that's the only bad thing about it, if you catch it like a decent size something.
Didn't
on
you
it
hook your big trigger? Was it?
Yeah,
yeah,
that's right. When it was on.
And I saw y'all's the tog jig.
Yeah,
at the ships.
Yeah, this is the mini rod togging at the ships. Yeah, we need to do that again this season.
I want to go.
You got a mini rod there. I want to do it all mini rod there,
especially there because it wouldn't. Yeah,
well, it was almost like we were kind of having fun with it, and then Lee was like, "This is actually works better.
It's fun."
Yeah, and the ships is actually like it's more efficient.
Yeah,
yeah, it's such a small confined space.
Yeah,
with. You put 6 foot attached to you, man, you're covering the whole effing place.
And you're in there against the wall.
Yeah,
and
right,
it's just too easy to have it right there.
It's such a fun place to just go fishing and have fun with your friends, too.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is. It's in the cave. All right. Let's see.